Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget, if you have a question or a comment, here's all you have to do. Ask Jim at jbsba.com, and we'll get back with you with some kind of a response, maybe even an answer. Or if you have, even if you have a criticism, something that you'd like to constructively criticize, we'll be glad to take that too. We always like those too. Diane Wilson, ladies and gentlemen, is the founder of Grimard Wilson Consulting. She spent many years in the field of, in the human side of work, the workplace. Her background is in coaching and counseling and teaching and helping people to get organized. She is a writer. Her writing has appeared in many publications, including Chicago Tribune's Working Section feature. She's the author of a new book called Back in Control, How to Stay Sane, Productive, and Inspired in Your Career Transition. Diane, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here. It's good to have you here, Diane. And I'm glad you're here because it's important to talk about what you discuss in your book. And that is this situation of what happens when we decide that we need to make a career change, or when somebody else decides sometimes that we have to make a career change. One of the things you talked about in your book was the perspective of your father and his career. And I think a lot of people will identify this, if not for themselves, certainly for their parents. I want you to tell us a little bit about that story.
My father worked 42 years on his first job, and he went to work every day and really didn't talk about it all that much. But the question of whether it filled his soul's meaning or whether it was his calling was really just an irrelevant question. He was a good and loyal worker, and he provided well for our family. And I think that's why a lot of people worked in my parents' generation, mm-hmm. and actually why a lot of people work now.
My dad had a very similar story, and my mother too. And although she didn't work the whole time like my dad did, full time, you know, part of the time she raised the family like your mother did, as I understand. Mm-hmm. But my dad retired from the railroad after something like, you know, 40 years. As you say, you get the gold watch and a little party and you're on your way.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. since then I have talked with my dad, and I, my dad has actually said to me, he wished he'd considered another career.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, in those days, whether, you know, it never occurred to him to say, am I happy about this? You know, am I happy with what I'm doing? Is this fulfilling me? And if it's not, why don't I do something else? Because mm-hmm. they were tied to that job by the pension and the health care and the job security, weren't they?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That was a 20th century attitude that prevailed. Certainly prevailed in the 20th century, but that's not the attitude that's in the 20. That's not the 21st century attitude, is it?
No, it's not. Most of us look for emotional employment, to be engaged emotionally, to feel like it's our calling or our passion, that it really feeds who we are. Increasingly, the people that I see in coaching and in doing group training, that's what they're looking for more and more.
Mm-hmm. Well, and another thing is, are the people that we're hiring. Mike Mutzel has written a book about the Gen Xers. He mm-hmm. says they're not aloof; they're just different.
Mm-hmm.
And Gen Xers, they're the folks. And you may actually be a Gen Xer, Diane. I'm not. I'm a baby boomer. But the Gen Xers are. He says that they're going to have a different job every 3 years or so in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so when you look at their resumes, their resumes look completely different than other people in the job market.
15 years ago, when I was helping small businesses in my consulting business, if we looked at resumes and they had a different job every 2.5 to 3 years, we didn't consider them.
Mm-hmm.
We
yeah.
said, what's wrong with this person?
Mm-hmm.
That's not true anymore, is it?
No. Now it's more typical.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I want you to help us with today, Diane, is there are people out there who are not happy and they want to move on, or they've already moved on their own, or they've been downsized or right-sized or squeezed out or bought out or whatever the example may be, and they're thinking about becoming an employee for somebody else, but they also might be thinking about starting their own business. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want you to help us to get refocused. And as you say, to get back in control. That's the title of her book, folks, Back in Control by Diane Grimard Wilson. It's 20 till. We'll be right back with our new friend, Diane Grimard Wilson. Stay with us. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend Diane Grimard Wilson, the author of Back in Control, How to Stay Sane, Productive, and Inspired in Your Career Transition. And Diane, why don't you give us your website, please?
It's www.backincontrol.com. So it's okay. www.back-in-control.com.
All right. And tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Basically, we have an overview of what Back in Control is and what it's about, how I came to write it. We have the testimonies and opinions of a number of key people in my field who have read the book and gave their perspective on it. We have a resource center where you can look at all the tools that I mentioned that I use in coaching, and there's an opportunity to take an online assessment to look at your behavioral style.
You know, that's so important, folks. And Diane, I'm sure you'd agree with me when I say that's even a good exercise to do, whether you're wanting to look for employment or to start your own business.
Looking at your behavioral style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Your style is like the air that you breathe. We take it so much for granted that we couldn't even describe it, and yet it affects everything.
Tell us what that looks like. Tell us how it manifests in each one of us. The style.
Our style is like our paradigm. It's the filter through which we put the world, and it's how we naturally react without thinking. And so some people's styles are more aggressive and take control. Other people's styles are more sharing and affiliative and more trusting. Mm-hmm. Some people want to make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, and that's their set of strengths. And so what we really need to do is to understand where we fall on the charts and to use those strengths naturally instead of letting them be like a tail behind us, kind of crashing things behind us.
Well, that's really important for you to point that out, Diane, because let's say you're deciding to be an employee again. You're not ready to start your own business. Mm-hmm. And you need to know what is your style, what kind of a person, and you could, we have friends who, other friends of ours, who talk about personality, and Pearson Jane Howard wrote talk about personality. And that's a lot of what you're talking about when you say style. Our style is influenced by what kind of personality we have. And so we need to decide if we're going to become an employee, what is our style? And not be ashamed of it, not turn away from it, but use it to our advantage. That's what you were saying. But if we don't know what it is, then we're not going to do a very good job in that interview, are we?
Right, absolutely. What I tell people to do is discover your strengths and lead with them. You don't have to work from a point of limitation, but just really understand what you do best and feature that, and then everything else will fall into place more easily.
And if you're going to start a business, I still think you ought to. I definitely think you need to know what Diane's talking about, because Diane, if it's my style to not be aggressive, which people are laughing out there now with hearing me say that, if it should happen to be my style in bizarro world, it would be my style to not be aggressive. They would then I would say, okay, but there's a part of my business that I'm going to start, that I'm going to run, that needs to be aggressive. I better hire somebody who is.
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Or vice versa. If I need somebody to be more laid back, and there's an element to the business, if I'm too aggressive and there's an element to the business that needs to be more laid back. Or you know what else? This happens to a lot of people, Diane. They're entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And that means that they're really looking to take risks. But the more entrepreneurial they are, the less they are likely to be managers, and they better hire managers.
Mm-hmm. I know, but sometimes people think that in order to be successful that they have to have all these superior traits. You really don't. What you really need is, like you're talking about, is to have a sense of what you're good at and lead from that and then pull in what you don't have, whether you exchange it or hire it or outsource it. It's knowing your strengths is really the basis of a good business.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I recommend people do, even if they're going to start a business, Diane, I recommend if they're in the middle of a transition, that they stop and prepare their resume.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you've been working for somebody for 3 to 5 years or so, and all of a sudden you're either out of work with them or you're about to be for one reason or another, you know, you probably have learned some things in the last 3 to 5 years that you take for granted that somebody needs to be able to read about.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I think it's a great idea. It fits into a broader idea that you need to start with your strengths and also to keep a really good inventory of it. People lose track of what they contribute,
right.
And especially in working for other people, but you need to take regular inventory. Here's what I've done. Here's what I helped do, so that when you are on the spot for talking about it, it's there top of mind, but also it helps decisions about what you'd like to do next.
Mm-hmm.
Just increasing your consciousness of your skills is critical.
And isn't it amazing how we forget some of these things? That we know how to do certain things
until
we write them down.
Mm-hmm. And also in transition, it's really easy to forget. Back in Control talks about a concept called career amnesia, mm-hmm. and that's just, it's kind of a like a humorous title, amnesia, because it's not complete amnesia, but in transition we usually forget, oh my gosh, what was I good at? You know, I'll never get through this. And so the more material you have that stabilizes your sense of, yes, I have skills, yes, this is what I can do.
Well, the other thing
better.
is that if you have just been downsized or fired or laid off, you may be feeling like you're not worth much. And folks, what caused you to be out of work, probably a good chance it had nothing to do with you. And you need to remember that. Tin Till, we'll be right back with our new friend, Diane Grimard-Wilson, the author of Back in Control. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our new friend, Diane Grimard-Wilson, the author of Back in Control, How to Stay Sane, Productive, and Inspired in Your Career Transition. And Diane, one of the things that I really want people to, and I'm going to say it again, folks, you know, if you've just been, and I'm speaking as someone who this has happened to twice, and that is that if something happens to you and you're out of work, you know, the first thing if you had some responsibility in that, then you need to take that responsibility. But you also need to realize, still, regardless of whether it was your fault or not, and pretty good chance that it wasn't, you need to realize that you have a lot of value to give to the marketplace. You just need to find where that is and what that looks like. And I still say one of the best things you can do is to sit down and bring yourself up to date with all the things that you're capable of by doing a resume. Even if you write it to yourself, Diane, that's what I think. You know, imagine you're going to be interviewing yourself for a job. Because if you work, mm-hmm. if you start a business, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
First, you're going to start a business
idea.
And hire yourself, aren't you?
Yes, and you're going to be selling yourself, so it's very important. Know your product and know your product strengths, and you're the product.
Right. Well said. Diane, as we wrap up our visit, what are some last thoughts that you'd like to make sure that we understand about getting ourselves back in control?
Getting ourselves back in control really has a lot to do with the mental aspect, the mental game of starting a business or starting a new job or a job search. And most people underestimate the power of that, and yet it's in the relationships that you build your next steps, and being in the right place to do that and having good chemistry with others is so important. Back in Control shares the stories of many people who have been in transition and how they came through it. And some of the specific tips would include really looking at the mental game, how you're talking to yourself in the process. A lot of people I know get stuck in saying, like, oh, my gosh, I'm so tired. This will never happen. I'll get laid off again, or my business idea, maybe it won't work. And just a lot of nagging type self-talk.
Toxic talk.
Good term. And so we need to keep an eye on that, because that can make or break a transition. So condition your mind for success. That's one of my key pieces of advice around your transition.
You know, I'd like to remind people of the great people, the people who have accomplished great things, and all the I like to think about all the failures that they had before them. You know, Dr. Seuss was turned down by like 24 publishers before somebody actually published his Cat in the Hat book. Mm-hmm. Think about that kind of failure, that kind of rejection. You know, but he kept going. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Michael Jordan was cut from his junior high basketball team. Do you know that?
No.
Think about that. And if you ever read a list of the things that Abraham Lincoln failed at before he became president, it's just it would make most people want to just jump off a bridge or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy just kept going. He just persevered, like you say, and just kept going. And so those are things that I like to think about, what other people have been through and yet persevered, because it motivates me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the other thing is that you can feel pretty lost and alone in transition. Even if you're surrounded by other people, there's a sense of feeling odd, like other people go to work at a certain time and you're still trying to, you know, figure out how that's going to work for you.
And sometimes if you ever say to yourself, what's wrong with me? What do you do about that, Jan?
The what's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
I think what's right with me is a good idea. I think reading about what other people go through in transition will be helpful. Maybe listing what you feel are your limitations, that's a good idea. Getting it out on paper can really demystify it. They become these monsters in our head, part of this toxic talk. Mm-hmm. And if you write it out on paper, I recommend journaling for people in transition. It's a great idea. A good way to start a business, keeping
there's
a log.
Something- Something powerful of seeing your words and your thoughts looking back at you from a sheet of paper, isn't there?
There really is.
It's amazing how powerful that is. The things that you think in your head are more powerful on paper looking back at you. There's no question about it. Diane, give us the title of the book again.
Control, How to Stay Sane, Productive, and Inspired in Your Career Transition.
Wherever books are sold, it's doing well, too. Congratulations on that, Diane. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing a good job. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program really is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.